The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome all of you to the final hour. It's been a busy one. A lot of conversation about Sarah Fuller at Vanderbilt. And we'll talk to the coach who played, whose team played against Vanderbilt in a few minutes, Coach Eli Drinkwitz. Right now, let's get back to the calls here. And Augie is up next. Hey, Augie.
Hey, Paul. Rough start today. You were having more communications problems than the Chinese Space Agency was having with their moon rovers. You know, they were always losing them once they got up there.
Yeah, so, I don't know what the deal is here. There's something about this microphone that I can hear, but nobody else can hear me. So it sounds like you're talking to your great uncle when you were a kid.
Hey, Paul, what's up with Bob from Brooklyn?
I don't know, but I'm going to give him the couple of sports stations in New York to give his picks.
And a shout out for last week. That interview with Joe Scarborough was really good. I didn't think you could have a better interview than John Adams, but Scarborough was good. And you didn't ask him the most relevant and I think pressing question of our times in regards to Harry Truman.
Which
and
is?
That was, you didn't ask him about Majestic 12.
Really?
You know what that is, right?
What was that again? I didn't hear you this time.
Oh, you didn't ask Scarborough about Truman and his board he set up, Majestic 12. That was the code name for the group.
I'm guessing it had something to do with the bomb, but I could be off.
It was definitely related to the bomb, but the bomb as it provoked alien visitation.
Oh, wow.
And Majestic 12 was the board that supposedly...
I didn't know that one.
You should Google it. It's pretty interesting.
I will.
Whether you believe it or not is irrelevant. But, Paul, speaking of alien visitation, you didn't have a call from Matt today, did you, from San Antonio?
No. I mean, I know Matt works. I think it rallies or someplace like that. So he could be working today.
Jack maybe. In the box, right?
I'm not sure, but I'm sure he's a good worker.
Well, I'm still waiting for that Texas A&M beatdown. Did you happen to catch that game?
I did. It was a rough watch.
I mean, you could argue, if you watch the game, that LSU could have won that game 17-13. But here's the thing with, I think, Ed Ogeron now. He had this affinity for Finley. And I think Finley has shown us all he can show us. And I've been waiting for Max Johnson to take the field. And he's been putting the kid into impossible and hopeless situations when the ball's inside the five, when they're down by 20. He gave the kid a shot, and he actually had some drives, and he did put together a scoring drive at the end of the game. I think he needs to play Finley, to play Johnson, start off with Johnson, and leave the kid in, give him an opportunity to play. I mean, he showed me a lot. He just needs some playing time. And as far as rearranging this game with Bama, what does Bama have to gain by beating LSU? And I think that the only good that can, or the worst thing that can come out of it for Bama is they're going to win the game, but what if somebody gets hurt? And then what if it's Harris? What if his knee goes out? What if they sack, you know, Mac Jones and there goes his leg? I mean, what do they got to gain from this? Because I don't think beating LSU is going to put them into the SEC championship, and it can only hurt them.
I agree. I mean, right now, Alabama wants to get to the playoffs and, you know, stop off in Atlanta on the way. Augie, but that's what happens. I mean, these are competitive teams. They play games. It's a big game. And I don't think you'll see Nick Saban backing down one bit. I mean, don't forget they were destroying Mississippi State a year ago when Tua got hurt. How about Bob in Dallas? You're on the air. Hey, Bob.
I can barely hear you, but you're the best, man.
Thank you.
I reversed the trend from going from Ohio down to Texas, and I went from Texas up to Columbus so that I could see Woody Hayes and occasionally drive to Cleveland and actually saw Jim Brown play.
Oh, my goodness.
Both incredible experiences. I lived in the dorm, and I could hear the game through the wall, and sometimes I could sneak up and get in a seat. But anyway, It's tough to follow Billy. Your guy put me in a bad spot. I got a statement to make about Nick. Saban, everything that I know about him, I've got a dear friend whose son just graduated from there, and he talks about him all the time, and everybody knows about Nick and how great he is. You know, they're talking about him not coaching for very long. Are you kidding? He'd crawl through fire to continue coaching. That's his life. That's who he is. I couldn't get past that. And finally, I heard that you backed Ohio State earlier today or yesterday, whenever it was. I almost swallowed my chewing. and then later I hear you talking about, well, they haven't got a chance because they're so much. Hey, they beat Michigan State and Michigan, and they do it pretty good. They're probably going to go 4 and play Alabama in the first game.
Yeah, Bob, I said yesterday on ESPN that I felt like they had to figure out a way to get Ohio State in, as long as they can get another game or two in. I still feel that way, and I know a lot of people want to be dismissive of Ohio State. I still think Ohio State's one of the top 4 teams in the country. The issue is if they miss another game, they're ineligible for the Big Ten championship. But I think it's time the Big Ten put out a contingency plan, and I'm willing to bet they will. They've made up everything else that they've done this year. So, Bob, thanks for the call. Pete is up next in Mississippi. Hey, Pete, you're on the air. How are you?
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Pete, I am doing great.
I just wanted to call in and say hello to you, first of all.
Well, I do recognize his voice, and it's an old friend who's so how'd the season go, Coach?
Well, now I had 3 things for you, Paul. One is I wanted to update you on our season. I'm really proud of our kids. We made the playoffs for the 4th straight time.
Oh, wow.
Which is a record for the school. And we ended up, since 1981, they'd only made the playoffs 2 times. And we've made it 4 straight years.
That's fantastic.
And so I'm really proud of our players during this COVID stuff. It's unusual for everybody. The second thing I wanted to tell you was in 2018, we won the 6A state championship, which that's the largest classification in Mississippi. And we had a female kicker.
Did you?
And she was not our starter, but she was on our team. She kicked, and we blew some teams out, and she kicks several extra points and that type of stuff. But it was really a unique and fun experience. And I want to say that she was a part of the team. The players embraced her, and she was a very attractive young lady. And we had our football banquet in December. She got married in December to a young man that was going into the military, and it was unreal. You know, she was accepted. Now, she did ride on the bus next to the head coach everywhere we went.
I'm curious because some people have raised the issue about the contact on the field in the event of of a kickoff or whatever. I mean, how did you deal with that issue?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Well, she did not kick off for us, Paul. She kicked some extra points.
Okay, so that's all.
And like I said, she was not our starting kicker. She was actually the backup.
Got it.
But she was there every day at practice. She was one of the hardest working players we had and very accepted by all of the players. It was never an issue. And matter of fact, not because she was female, let me say, but she was one of the most popular players on our team because she earned the respect of every one of our players. And it was just remarkable to see that situation on a really talented team. And then the third thing I wanted to tell you was kind of from, you know, kind of talking to fans out there is a few weeks ago we were in a playoff game and we were playing on the road and my nephew happened to live in that town. He's an orthopedic surgeon. He's an Alabama graduate, and you know, he's one of those guys that thinks he knows football and, you know, wants to, like, he's in the know of everything, typical fan. And so I did not see him. I'm in the press box during the games, and I did not see him until I came down at halftime. And so I was headed back up for the second half, and I said, hey, you want to come up to the press box with me? And he said, can I? I said, well, yeah, you're with me. And so he came up to the press box with me, and I'm on the headsets, and, you know, he's listening to me. And I, you know, when I had a minute, I'd talk to him, this and that. Well, he sent out a picture on Facebook, and he showed us, in the press. He said, I got the press box invite, and he said, I got to listen to me, to my uncle, you know, talking suggestions and what was going on in the game. And the interesting thing he said was, he said, I found out how little I know about football.
Wow.
And so I thought that was very interesting from a, you know, there's a fan that actually listened in on the headset, you know, me talking on the headsets, and he was just enamored in what, you know, he made the statement, what little – he said, it made me realize what little I know about football and the conversations I was having with the coaches on the field as far as what was going on and what was happening and adjustments and this and that. And as you know, I don't know much about the game myself.
Well, Coach, it's thanks for sharing it. And anyone who's ever been up there in a box or on the field, it's not the same game we watch on TV. I mean, I wonder and marvel, Coach, sometimes how anything gets accomplished when you see how chaotic it really is.
Oh, it's unreal. It's unreal. And, you know, we've always had the saying wherever I've been is, you know, the heat of the battle, don't take anything personal among coaches.
No.
You know, what you say or what you call somebody.
Absolutely. Well, so, listen, Coach, it's always a pleasure. You be well, and thank you so much.
Paul.
Look forward to talking again. An old friend of mine used to be a head coach in college football and decided he wanted to keep coaching. So he's, after being a head coach in Mississippi, now he's an assistant and enjoying it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. And Buck is up next. Coach Strink coming up here in a few minutes. Buck is in Kentucky. How are you, Buck?
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great.
Yeah, so this is my fifth time being on here. I talked to you a little bit last year, right before coronavirus came through, messed everything up. But I just wanted to call, man. I've had a really, really tough couple of weeks, you know, being a Kentucky fan and all, like you can probably imagine. You know, I went deer hunting, didn't get anything. Now I'm hungry. Came back home, watched them get killed by Florida. Then I watched them get killed by Richmond. I mean, I'm really down the dumps right now. I just don't know what to think.
Yeah. Once again, I think second year in a row, Kentucky has dropped a basketball game early on that's virtually impossible to explain. Last year, it seemed like it spurred them on with I think Kansas coming up this week or soon. I wouldn't be too concerned. I just think that's the vagaries of college basketball this year. Hey, thank you very much for the call. How about Hank up next in South Carolina? Hello, Hank. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hey, Paul. So conventional wisdom is that, you know, Alabama's going to win out, and Clemson will beat Notre Dame in the ACC championship, probably by less than two scores. And then say A&M wins out. The way I think the committee would seed them would be Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Texas A&M 3, and Notre Dame 4. So then Clemson and Texas A&M would play in the Rose Bowl, and Alabama and Notre Dame would play in the Sugar Bowl.
So where do you are you dismissing Ohio State?
Well, I mean, let's say they finish 5-0. I mean, in my opinion, I think an 11-0 Cincinnati, who has far better quality wins than anything that Ohio State has on their resume. They played a trash schedule. Indiana looked horrible against Maryland. I mean, eventually they, you know, they gritted it out. But, like, you know, their quarterback's down for the year, and I don't think their schedule's – I mean, their record's going to be in that good. So, basically, they've got no quality victories, whereas Cincinnati has a bunch of quality victories against quality teams. So I would think that
– Yeah, Hank, they certainly didn't need Northwestern going down either. That was a big blow. Ohio State has issues. I mean, I'm not sugarcoating it. They have some real problems. They need to finish the season without missing another game. And I'm not sure you know, where that is right now. Speaking of Ohio State, let's bring in as soon as I can get him on. Well, actually, I can't get him on the board. How about Joe up next? Hey, Joe, go right ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, you and I usually talk about Tennessee, but I just want to talk about how good Alabama looked Saturday night.
They were fabulous.
They know how to develop players. It's amazing. You know, back in the early 2000s and the late 90s, they didn't have a very good team, and Nick Saban, he was their ninth coach after Bear Bryant retired. And what they do with those athletes is amazing. You know, they usually get 4- and 5-star athletes, but they know how to develop that talent. And Saturday night, they look flawless almost.
Well, Joe, you're right. You know, getting them is one thing. Developing and keeping them is another. Jeff is up next in Columbus. Jeff, what's going on with your Buckeyes?
I don't know, Paul. But I do appreciate you kind of giving us sticking up for us a little bit, my man.
Well, thank you. Anything I can do.
I mean, people think you're a Buckeye hater, and I know that's not the truth. I mean, you've always been pretty fair. I mean, you like to, you know, give me a little grief now and then, but that's okay. But, you know, I tell you what, it's kind of frustrating just as a fan since we had this second episode this week and then the uncertainty down the stretch here. It makes me realize I cannot imagine what these coaches and especially these players mentally are going through, the ups and downs and the highs and lows. I mean, these guys have to be going crazy, don't you think?
Yeah, because, I mean, and I would agree, Jeff, it's happening to everyone, but when you can't play a game 2 weeks in a row and you're in the middle of the national championship race, it hurts a little bit more than, you know, you're down there, you know, in Minnesota's spot.
Right. I mean, you know I'm a huge college football fan, and I like the games all over the place. I mean, I'm a diehard Buckeye fan, but I follow the entire game. You know what I mean? The entire slate of games, all the teams. I try to, you know, follow it. And I tell you what, I hate to say it, but I'm starting to lose a little bit of interest. And I just can't imagine what it'd be like to be trying to keep these players focused and in tune with what you got to do. You know what I mean? It's like they said today, Ohio State, the different units just kind of practiced by themselves, the guys that were healthy. I mean, what's that mean? You know what I mean? It's not – this is the ultimate team sport, and it just hit home that, you know, I don't know how these guys are doing it, you know.
Well Jeff, I mean, I think it's the issue that will – if we get to January 11th, and I still think we will – It's a matter of coping. I mean the Ravens and the Steelers, the game was scheduled, what was it, for last Thursday night, then they moved it to Sunday, then they moved it to Tuesday. They just announced it's going to be on at 4:00 Wednesday afternoon. I mean, an NFL game on a Wednesday afternoon. I mean everything is bordering right on absurd, but here's my admonition, Jeff. It's not going to get any better the next couple of weeks.
No.
In fact, I would say it's going to get worse. And I'm not being a doom and gloomer. I'm just simply saying that the confluence of all this is starting to come together. And, for the second week in a row, we had 18 games gone. Already this week, 4 or 5 have been canceled. And the week's only 2 days old.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah. When I knew things were hitting the wall was when there was serious conversation going on up here. The Buckeyes were going to fly out Saturday morning
right
for an 11 o'clock game and because of Central Standard Time or whatever. I'm like, there's no way. I mean, come on, there's no way you could put a football team through that and expect them to be ready. But you know what, Paul? The reason I know this whole football season is turned upside down on its head, when I'm hearing the ultimate guy that the SEC fans hated for years, every fan base now wants Urban Meyer to be their next head coach.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Jeff. Stay the course, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk tomorrow. We have to go to a break. We have a guest waiting. We are coming back for the final 30 minutes. Coach Drink from Mizzou expected to join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Final 30 minutes, and it's always a pleasure to welcome our friend Coach Eli Drinkwitz back to the program off of a huge win over the weekend, putting together quite a nice season in his first year at Missouri. Coach, first of all, congratulations. Everyone has been through a very serious challenge this year, but you guys seem to be holding up quite well. How's it going?
Yeah, so far so good. You know, it's really a tribute to our leaders, our captains. You know, the best players on our team are also the leaders, which always helps. Nicholas Bolton, Larry Roundtree, and we've come into our own with our quarterback, with Connor really stepping in and taking hold of the team offensively. And so it's allowed us to create some momentum and form an identity this year. So it's been good. Still got a lot of football left to play, and hopefully we can get there.
I want to spend most of the time, if not all the time, on your team, but you had some really poignant comments, I thought, after the game in relation to Sarah Fuller. History was made in Columbia, and watching it from your not seat, but your position on the sideline, we all love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, and I've been pretty adamant about this, I'm extremely proud of her for what she did for her university. You know, she didn't ask to do this. She didn't ask to be a part of the football team. They asked her. They needed her because their team was down at, you know, specialist, and they need somebody to kick. And she had a choice to make, and she chose to do what was best for Vanderbilt and that football team. And that's a courageous thing. And I think a lot of people are making a lot about whether or not it was a great kick and all that different stuff. You know, let's put it in perspective. Nobody's getting on the quarterback for the Denver Broncos yesterday for what he did. The Denver Broncos needed a quarterback, and that young man stepped up and did it and played well, or as good as he possibly could, to allow them to have a chance. That's exactly what she did. So I don't understand all the negative comments and all the people out there making comments about it. The thing that is courageous about what she did was when they needed her, she answered the bell. And I'm extremely proud of her for that. That takes courage, and it's to be commended. And so, you know, that's my statement on it. And I really appreciate the fact that she did that. That shows what football is about. It's a team sport, and everybody's got a contribution to make. And we're excited about that, especially in 2020.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Martin, I appreciate you saying that, because there's been a lot of chatter out there, and as I know you have seen. Coach, obviously we want to talk about the games, but yeah. Every week it's a bigger challenge, and you've dealt with it quite a few times this year. Describe what it's been like and what you think needs to happen to get to the finish line.
I mean, it's been every week you expect a change. You know, we tested yesterday. We get the results about between 7:20 and 7:30, and honestly, I got a pit in my stomach when my trainer calls to find out what the results are going to be, and then what the subsequent fallout's going to be from the contact tracing and all that. You know, of our 10 games, 7 of them have been changed this year, and that's on top of a schedule change that went to conference only. And so, you know, I think for what it shows your guys and teams that have the mental toughness and capability to be flexible. As far as how do we finish, boy, I don't know. I know we got to land this plane sometime. I think we've come to grips that we're not going to all have the same pieces together. You're going to just have to do the very best you can with what you have and be committed to playing football games. And that's what we're trying to do in the SEC. I think our commissioner's been lights out as far as being ahead of the curve and really predicting how this was going to go. It's been a tough task, but hopefully we'll get there. Hopefully everybody masked up over Thanksgiving and is continuing to practice social distancing.
Yeah, and you're right. I get lost trying to keep up with the schedule because every week it's different. Yeah. I can only imagine what it's like for you because you actually have to do preparation. I just watch.
Yeah, I mean, last week was a beast. I'm not going to lie about it. You know, we had prepared for about 24 hours, 36 hours for Arkansas, and then get a call at 5 about this time. Last week that we were switching to Vanderbilt, and kudos to our staff. They put in some late hours and some long nights to be ready, and it showed up on Saturday. And kudos to our team for accepting the challenge for what it was and responding to that challenge.
This is not so much an issue for your team because you're 4-3 and a lot of excitement and enthusiasm, but I am curious about the mental health of these athletes because something's always happening. It's always changing. There's always waiting out a test result. How are they coping?
You know, I tell you what, it's affecting my team. I know we're winning right now, but winning doesn't cure everything. There's still, you know, serious things. You've got young men who've been practicing football really since July 24th. We've only played 7 games, and we're in the first week of December. You've had ups and downs about who's playing, who's not playing, who's got to be in quarantine for 14 days. You have starters, you know, who have to miss 2 games because of quarantining, and it takes a toll on them. I think the best way to cope is to try to focus on the presence, you know, and you know what we've talked about with our guys is to view every challenge as an opportunity to practice our faith and mental toughness, and then it's about becoming the best version of ourselves instead of about the result for that particular week. And I think being able to try to put things in those perspective, I've talked to our team about how they're going to be so much more prepared for life because of what they've been through in 2020. And I think that's the kind of things that can help us get through and adapt to this year.
Coach, this would normally be a very busy Monday night in normal times. Recruiting is just around the corner, which brings the obvious question: how are you dealing with recruiting as you mirror it with trying to finish the college football season?
Yeah, it's 16 days till signing day, Paul. If you didn't know that, we know that. We're very active on social media. We're very active on Zoom calls. You know, we had a Zoom official visit, but as close as you can, you know, last night, and just trying to create some sort of normalcy. You know, it's going to be really difficult for these young men to make these decisions. It's unprecedented. But you do have to recruit. You do have to sign a class. And we're trying to build those relationships and connections. We're still trying to pull off a few flips, you know, riding the momentum of what we've created. We're still trying to get the buzz for the 2022 class. And so recruiting is the lifeblood of your program. You always got to be out in front. And the one thing we know is we're still going to play football, Paul. And so you better make sure you're out there recruiting. You better make sure you're out there developing your players. And you better make sure you put a winning product on the field.
And you have done that, and certainly a lot of credit goes to you and your staff and your players. I'm interested in, I know you're a guy that doesn't accept anything but the best, and we've had that conversation about not expecting to win, not trying to win. You expect to win. Mm-hmm. So, as we try to finish here, and obviously we're going to get to some semblance of a finish line. How do you push this thing, whether it's a Boulder or a football team, over the edge here and try to finish strong?
Yeah, I mean, I think you talk about it. We talk about starting fast and finishing strong in everything we do. You know, they remember November. I think we're saying it's a December to remember for us in Mizzou. You know, we got a great game this week, a rivalry game to kick off this month. We got a quality opponent in Arkansas, and Coach Sam Pittman and what he's done there, and the job Barry Odom's done as the defensive coordinator and Kendall Browse as the offensive coordinator. I mean, we got a tall task ahead of us. But like we've talked to our team a lot, it's about the legacy that we can leave, about the identity that we can form, about what they're going to say about us as a 2020 football team. You're never going to have this opportunity again. And so for us, it's about creating that version. And when there's a lot left to be written. And we're not done yet.
Well, we appreciate it. It's always a great pleasure to have you on this program. It's a delight, and you've had an amazing year, but it's not over yet. Coach, thanks for making the time.
Yeah, appreciate you, Paul. A lot of good football left to be played.
Great to hear from you. Coach Drink joining us from Columbia, and we are heading to a break here on a Monday night, final day of November.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.